I'm reading from John 15, verses 1 to 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete.
Amen. Well, it's great to see you all here today, to see so many of you. Thank you for coming on this Easter Sunday. You know, there's lots of places to be, so we appreciate you coming and worshiping and giving our praises to God and thanks to God for all that he's done for us. So as Elizabeth was saying, we've been looking at the seven I Am statements from the Gospel of John. So the Gospel of John is different from the other Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke are the synoptics. John is different. And in this different Gospel, Jesus teaches in what is known as the Upper Room Discourse, chapters 13 through 17 of the Gospel of John. And throughout the book, there are these I Am statements that we just saw from the youth. And the last two, the one that Pastor Tom spoke about last week, I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14, 6. And then this one, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. These both happen. These are the last two I Am statements, and they happen in this Upper Room Discourse. So why that's important is the context is Jesus meeting with his 12 disciples. This is just before, right, the cross, on the way to the cross. This is the Last Supper, Jesus and his disciples. And they are celebrating Passover. And in the Passover, they eat the bread, they drink the cup. So this one, I am the true vine, probably was being read. Jesus spoke about it when there was this cup going on in the Passover. Did you get that? So the last two statements are happening in the Upper Room Discourse. This last one, John 15. So we got to keep that in mind because that'll help us understand what's going on here. So that's what we have here. I am the vine. Jesus is saying that when they're talking about the cup. The cup is happening as part of the Passover. All right. So the vine was a symbol for Israel. So it's a bit of a reach, okay? So for us, we don't see that many vineyards, although there are more and more in the country of Canada. Prince Edward County has over 40 vineyards. Go down to Niagara and the lake, there's at least 40 down there. On the north shore of Lake Erie, there's a bunch of other ones in Canada, and then out west, of course, in British Columbia, lots and lots of vineyards. But we don't see so much the vines right here in Toronto. So we have a vine. Beth went out and got this plant. Do we know what this plant is? We don't really know. I'm going to call it a grapevine, okay? Probably isn't, but nevertheless, I'm calling it that. I have seen grapevines because I've explored them in Prince Edward County. Nevertheless, here we have a vine, and we have branches, we have leaves. So everyone, though, in Jesus' day understood. In fact, the vine was so important that I'll come back to that text, but going into the temple, into the sanctuary of the temple, this was the main door. This is an artistic piece of it. And around the columns, you can see the columns here, here, and here. There are grapevines that are being represented there. So it was something that everybody knew. It was there in their face. Every time they went to the temple, they saw the vines going around the columns. Because, we go back to this verse, Israel as a vine is talked about a lot. So for example, here in Jeremiah the prophet says, "Yet I planted you as a choice vine from the purest stock, a beautiful vine." Sorry, went away. "How then did you turn degenerate and become a wild vine?" So again, if you go around Prince Edward County, there are lots of people who started vineyards and gave up on them because they take a lot of work to keep them going. So if you explore those ones, you'll see the little grapes, but they haven't been taken care of. So it's like a degenerate wild vine. Our own property down in Prince Edward County, we have them. They're just grown wild because the seeds have blown everywhere. So people get it. We don't get it so much. So we have to work out a little bit, all right? So here we go. The text says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower." This is the last, this is the seventh I am statement. So there have been seven, this is the last one. And it happens twice, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower." And then in verse 5, it'll be repeated again. So most of the I am statements happen twice within the context. So I am a true vine, there is a vine. Jesus calls himself the true vine, or the genuine vine. So we just note here, just as a passing note, that Jesus differentiates himself and the Father. I am the vine, the Father is the vine grower. So they're not identical. Jesus doesn't see them identical. The Father is the Father, Jesus is the Son. And so the understanding of the Trinity is what? Three persons, one nature. Three persons, one nature. So Jesus is not the same as the Father. He never says, "I am the Father." In fact, he does everything for the glory of the Father. The Father is the Father, Jesus is the Son. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. So three persons, one nature. Jesus begins by saying that. Go back, "I am the vine, the true vine, the genuine vine, and my Father is the vine grower." So here's the image. You go back maybe all the way to the Garden of Eden, this wonderful garden that's functioning so beautifully. This is what Jesus is saying here. Israel is supposed to be the true vine, but it hasn't done all that well, so it isn't the genuine vine. I am the vine. That's what Jesus says. Wow, that's a bold statement, right? In Israel, the vine is on the temple, and Jesus stands up and says, "You, the nation, you haven't been that great of a vine. I'm telling you, I am the true vine." Wow. So as John spoke at the beginning of the service, reading the Buechner quote, I mean, either this is true or it's not, right? Either the tomb is empty or it's not. And if it's not, as Christians, it's not a good thing. Because we base the whole thing on the risen Christ. That's how it's declared. And the fact that Jesus is divine. And so we have to hold that very bold statement. Jesus is going to go on to talk about it. So this whole bit at the beginning is an allegory. Okay, Jesus speaks it as an allegory. So Jesus is the true vine, the genuine vine. The Father is the gardener, and it's this wonderful garden that is functioning so beautifully. That's how Jesus represents it. Note here, the church is not the vine. The church is very important, right? The church of Christ is extremely important, but the church is not the vine. Jesus is the vine. So all around the world, there are all kinds of churches everywhere, but the church is not the vine. Jesus is the vine. What unites us is Jesus. And so the invitation all through this whole allegory is, will we stay connected to the vine? Because if we are, we bear fruit, and it's a beautiful thing. But if we start growing off and off and off, and the branches start growing yellow, and they become dead, well, what does the gardener do? He snips them off. So it's the allegory, it's the picture. Jesus is the vine. So there we start. Second part of the allegory, the disciples are the branches, right? We read that, verses 2 and 3. Let me just remind you. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I've spoken to you. He's talking to his disciples here, right? I've spoken the word to you. You know what's going on. Then he says, abide in me as I abide in you, just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. So the second part of the allegory is if we know Jesus, then we are the branches. And if we do not stay connected to Jesus, we will dry up. This is the picture, right? So the whole thing is, well, then stay connected to Christ. This is the critical fact. And so I note that the word abide in the NRSV, it's also used in the King James Version if you're using either of those, happens 10 times in this piece. Abide, abide, abide. If you're reading the NIV, it uses the word remain. The word abide doesn't show up, but it's just a different translation. So abide, meno, the Greek word can mean to abide, to remain, to stay, to dwell, to be connected. All of those are translations. So depending on the translation you're looking at, that's the idea. But the picture is completely stay connected, abide in Jesus. You are the branches. We are the branches. So we want to stay connected to Jesus, who is the vine, right? Just makes sense. So the critical fact is to stay connected to the vine. What does that mean? Well, Jesus is saying in this allegory that if we stay connected to the vine, then we are making our home in Jesus. It means that we belong to him. And we belong not only to him, we belong to the Father. We belong to God. We make our home in him. This is the Easter story. Will we find our home in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, who is the vine? Or do we go off and do our own thing? So we bear fruit as we abide in Jesus. If you abide in Jesus, you bear fruit. That's it. You don't have to try to bear fruit. You don't have to will it. If you abide in Jesus, you will bear fruit. Boom. That's it. The vine's connected. The branches are connected. What happens? The grape starts growing. That's it. The little branch doesn't have to will it. Oh, please help me, help me, help me, help me bear fruit. We will bear fruit if we stay connected to Jesus in whatever way that is. So it's a statement of hope. Related to that, the branches need some pruning. Beth is a bit of a gardener. She's in charge of the plants in our house. I see her going around, pulling off the dead leaves. Periodically cutting things. I always find that a bit dangerous. Cut them. It's gone. Some of you are bigger gardeners. You're doing things. Rob, my buddy, in his backyard, he does all kinds of gardening. So there's all kinds of pruning. Is that not true, Rob? It is, see? So branches need pruning. And the gardener does that. Who does that? The Father does that. The Father prunes. So what needs pruning? Over the years, the church has talked about, in some quarters, the seven deadly sins. Here they are noted. Anger, greed, pride, envy, lust, gluttony, sloth. There's lots of others, but those are the ones that are noted. Any of those can become hindrances. Any of those can cause the fruit to not grow so well because the plant isn't doing so well. The branches aren't doing so well. These can become hindrances. So we have to ask ourselves, and what about us? You know, what is hindering my life in Christ? What needs pruning? Again, it's all part of the allegory. There's the vine, there are the branches. The branches need pruning. This is Jesus' picture. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to us these many years later. So what in our lives needs pruning? I can imagine the plant. I don't know this for sure. Simon, you're a biologist. He's got his PhD in all this stuff. So I don't know. Does a plant, when you cut it, does it hurt at all?
Not a hurt, but it does respond.
It does respond. Okay. It may not hurt, but it responds. Okay. I say it hurts, all right? I think it hurts. I know for us, if there's something that needs cutting, that can hurt. Because we're addicted to something. We have some deep habits. And when we want to give up these habits, there's a sense of loss. There's a sense of hurt. Writers in spiritual formation talk about it as compensation. We have a compensation. Where you want to drink, you have to say, drinking, you want to drink. What does a drink do? Well, you're drinking for a reason. It makes me feel something. I kind of feel a little better when I take that drink. That's the idea. We see it in the movies all the time, do we not? They're drinking. The lawyer just made a bad deal. Goes over. They've also got these fancy offices. They've got all kinds of alcohol there. They go over and he pours himself a stiff one, because the deal didn't go, right? I mean, you see it. What does that mean? There's some sort of compensation. May not be alcohol, may not be drugs, may not be anything like that, but there can be some sort of compensation. When we give it up, it hurts a little bit, but the pruning is necessary. So I won't take a show of hands, but I think we all realize that that's probably true. So in our own lives, somewhere along the line, we've experienced that. Again, it's all part of this allegory that Jesus is presenting to his disciples, and he presents to us. That's the allegory of faith. And so we could end it right there, because that's the end on that I am statement. But Jesus goes on, and we'll say one more point, and it's this issue of friendship. Jesus goes right into this after the allegory of the vineyard. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, philos, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. Jesus is saying, I want you to be my friends, and I've made you my friends. We've talked about this allegory, but now you're no longer servants or slaves, you are friends. And so we are invited into this friendship with Jesus. And I would say for us this morning, that's the Easter story. Jesus invites us to be his friends, to have this place of belonging, to have this place of home, to be his friends. And friendship with Jesus means, okay, we want to walk with Jesus. And so the language here is obey, keep. But as I note, this is not said in a military sense. It's not some captain saying, obey me, obey me, obey me, keep my commands or I'm going to do this. That's not the idea. The idea is we have a relationship with Jesus. We want to be in connection with Jesus. Therefore, when Jesus invites me to do something, I want to do that. It's this relationship of love. That's where Jesus is going. So obeying and keeping and trusting is all about listening and wanting to please our Lord. Okay, he's not some tyrant in heaven. God is not some old man in the heaven kind of looking down, wanting just to beat you up as soon as you do something wrong. That's not it. It's presented that way sometimes, movies. But Jesus is our Lord, he's our Savior, he's our friend. And Father, the Father is what? Is the shepherd who goes after the one sheep that is lost, leaves the 99 to follow and find the one and bring him back. So it's this picture of love. So the resurrected Christ invites us to become his friends. To say yes, to know Christ as your friend. Do you need a friend? Carole King's song, You've Got a Friend. We used to sing that song. You've Got a Friend. In fact, we did an album and that was the title song, You've Got a Friend. You've got a friend. Jesus is your friend. And he wants you to take that friendship seriously and to go to him every day as a friend. Jesus walks with you. If you're shooting and you're going off to university, Jesus is your friend in that place. I remember going to York University, and I didn't know a soul at York University. So I'm wandering around this big campus, and like, who's my friend here? So we need a friend. Jesus is our friend. You in your workplace, Jesus is your friend as you look to him and trust in him and love him. So we are invited to be his friends. Jesus, your friend. That's the picture. You know who is called a friend of God was Abraham. It's noted. Abraham was called the friend of God. Isn't that beauty? Abraham was the friend of God. And we also can be called and be friends of God. Not just now, but eternally. As I note here, not to live a boring, sad life, but a creative, fulfilling life of hope and joy. Note in our text, verse 11 or 10, it talks about joy. Why does Jesus go there? Verse 11, I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Friends of God, knowing joy. Fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, patience. All of those things. But joy is the second one. Love, joy, peace. You want joy? We all want joy, don't we think? We want joy. We want to be happy. So we find our joy and our happiness in Christ. It's not in our stuff. It's not winning the lottery. You can win the lottery and be a very sad person. You can win the lottery and then all your friends leave you because they're jealous. Or all the friends want a piece of the action. And if you don't give them the piece of action, then they're no longer your friends. Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus is our friend. To live a life that is happy, to live a life that is abundant, it all happens as we abide in Jesus. Make him our focus. The problems happen is when we start focusing on other things. Doesn't mean you'll know success in every way. But you will know him. You'll know his presence, his peace, his joy. So an allegory of a vine. We are the branches. We're called to abide, to stay connected to Jesus. And if we do that, then we are healthy branches, just like this beautiful plant here right now. And we are invited to do the same. So may we do so on this Easter Sunday. So if we say Jesus is risen, you say he is risen indeed. Let's say that again. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. One more time. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Confidence. We are his friends. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.